on me. Rise to a new day with each soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And this week, my special guest is Marcia Bennett, empathic intuitive. And she is one of the wonderful people here in Sedona. And she's going to be talking about Kundalini therapy and vibrational balance. And this is going to be very interesting. Whether you know anything about Kundalini or not, we'll be discussing that, and we'll be discussing our own experiences with that and how frightening it can be if you have no idea what's going on. And welcome to the show, Marcia.
Hi. Thank you, Valerie, for giving me this chance to share this experience. Back in the 60s, I graduated from high school, went to art school for about a year and a half. And then at that time, my background, my parents were highly addictive people, and living with them was rather dangerous, so it was time for me to move out, and I decided to get a job. And I answered an ad in the paper that went something like, do you want to help people? And I thought, well, yeah, that would be a great idea. And it turned out to be a local mental hospital. And they were hiring people to work on the wards. But because I had an art school background, they put me in occupational therapy, which was kind of nice. I just worked 8 to 5, and I got to go through the different levels of the hospital. They put me on a team because it was an 8-to-5 job where I would meet with a doctor and a social worker and other training doctors, usually from other countries, and none of them spoke English. And it was called a T group, and they would assign me patients. And it was my responsibility to come to this group every morning and talk about my 4 patients. For the 3 years that I worked there, I always had 4 patients. Mm-hmm. My observation, I was pretty young, I was about 19, 20 at the time, was that I really, you know, you see people being locked up and supposedly they're branded and labeled with all kinds of things from schizophrenia on up, but I didn't, even then, I felt there was something wrong, that we weren't really seeing the big picture. Well, one day, a woman by the name of Sunil was assigned to me. And she was really a lovely, beautiful woman. She was probably about 30 years old. And she came in a fetal position, literally, and they said she was schizophrenic, and they put her on drugs and medication. But we got to be really close. And she would tell me about these states of, and I didn't really have the words to say states of consciousness at that time, but she would relate to me these incredible states of consciousness, which I tried to explain to the doctors and nurses, but nobody really was listening to me. And she's kind of recovered with the drugs, and they sent her home, but unfortunately she had a relapse and came back. And this went on for almost the whole 3 years I was there. And finally, I really didn't want to work within a state institution anymore for many reasons, and I left. What happened after that was I went to work in a real busy art community. I myself got involved in drugs at that time period. I think I was quite unhappy because of my background. And I found myself exactly 10 years later, when I was about 30 years old, starting to have some very interesting symptoms. And I'd always been very sensitive, but due to my background, nobody validated that. And I started, I could perceive what people were thinking. And I could almost feel like I was feeling the future. And I started having strange body sensations. And I also felt like there was like a little man inside my head right around my crown chakra with a little pickaxe chopping away. And I remember trying to tell it to my friends at that time. And this was on the East Coast, and I think I had a lot of intellectuals for friends, and they kind of looked at me like, huh? And time went on, about a year, and due to my abuse of drugs and alcohol, my world was starting to fall apart anyway. And I took myself out of that community, and I went down to New Orleans for Mardi Gras with a bunch of people. And I decided I'd stay. So I was going to get an apartment. And all of a sudden, I had, I literally started hearing a voice inside my head telling me I needed to get this apartment and kind of get to it quickly. This all happened within 24 hours. I was able to secure an apartment, and my body started to heat up. At first, I thought it was the flu. It was a very high heat. It was almost like it was on fire. And within about 24 hours, I managed to get myself into this unfurnished apartment. I remember getting myself to Goodwill, getting a mattress, dragging it in, putting it on the floor. And the next thing that happened to me was it was like a hurricane hit me, or a tornado, or maybe a fleet of Mack trucks ran over my spine. And this energy just shot through my body, and it put me in many other worlds, is the best way to put it. The water was turned on in this apartment, but there's no electricity. I stayed there for about 2 weeks. I didn't eat. I remember kind of trying to drink water. I couldn't walk. I was kind of like crawling around. I was so wide open to these other realms. Now, my only experience growing up, when I was about 16, I had gone to a couple of seances. I knew friends that went to, quote, psychics. I had heard the word astral plane. I didn't know yogurt from a yo-yo or what yoga was or anything. I really didn't have much of a background in this. Mm-hmm. But I knew in my heart that what was happening to me was okay. And I started seeing Sunil. It was like my mind was flashing these pictures of this woman to me. And I knew immediately that whatever I was going through, she had gone through, but I had no name for it. When I was in these realms, it was incredible bliss and joy, and there was no war or hatred or separateness or division or duality or any of the things we experience here. That was all totally gone. I also had the one good thing when I was being raised as a child was I had no religious background whatsoever. So I didn't have a name for this. To me, it was just like being one with everything. And it was a totally beautiful sea of consciousness, and I was this tiny speck in it. But it was wonderful. And we can go into the other realms of lights and sound. Now, I want to say that I would go in and out of these states. And when I came out of them, I was upset because I realized in the States that the information when you're growing up in this culture at that time, and I grew up in the 50s and 60s, that they told you nothing. They didn't tell you about your body. They didn't tell you about this wonderful energy or these other worlds or these other realms or anything. And I was really pissed off, to say the least. I wasn't prepared for any of it. And I remember all those poor people in the mental hospital, and I said to myself, now, wait a minute. So, you know, they were valid in what they were experiencing.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I'd like the listeners to understand, and they've probably heard me say it before, that the only difference between psychics and schizophrenics is that psychics can go up and down the band, and they can turn the volume up and down, and they can turn it on and off, and schizophrenics are stuck in the low band, and they have no control, which would drive you crazy.
You are absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I was fortunate enough that I was blasted out of the low band, as you said, and the voices I heard were more, there was a male voice, which is probably my higher self, and it was really precise in trying to instruct me in how to eat, you know, and it was very clear that I was not to seek help in this. Not to try to go into the mainstream and find any help. And because of my background in the mental hospital, there was no way I was going near doctors after I saw what were done to people in the hospital. So, yeah, I mean, when I think about it, it gives you goosebumps. I mean, lobotomies, I mean, come on. To shut off the voices, I mean, there's so many other things that could have been done. I mean, we could go into that, but Anyway, I lived with this for about 15 years, and it was a real roller coaster ride. It was a time of educating myself. And another thing happened. In that precise second, when that energy went up my body, for about 24 hours, it was like the Akashic Records got dumped on my head, and it was like riding a stream where there was no time. I mean, there's no Rolex. You know, nobody has to wear a Rolex. There really is no time. It was like everything was all together, and I saw that we'd had all these lives, and we really were on this wheel just spinning our energy and ending up in the same place, and we weren't really advancing very quickly. And it was like my mind wanted me to focus on this, and kind of, it was like a little problem it was giving me. Now, Marcia, try to figure this out. Focus on this and on what's happening to you and the wonder of it all, and you'll be all right. I mean, I kept hearing this voice telling me it would be all right. I didn't realize it was going to take about 20 years for it to be all right, or I could have been really panicked, but it did. It took at least that long for me to sort myself out and sort all this out. But right now, I'm quite fine with it. And there were many along the way. I learned a lot, and also during that brief 2-week period, I kept hearing this repetition of some very simple sentences that we've heard growing up. One of them was, know thyself. Mm-hmm. The other one was, to thine own self be true. And I found out later, know thyself was part of what was carved on the walls in Greece in Delphi, and it was with the oracle. And I think the rest of it goes something like, know thyself and you will know the God within and you will know all others. Well, that's really true.
It is.
Mean, it was a beautiful sentence, and it was another thing it gave me to focus on so I didn't go nuts. You know, focus on these things. Don't focus on anything else. And the other one was, you shall be as gods. And because I didn't have a background with a god or a dogma or any kind of religion, I got to really explore that. And I got to understand that we're truly multidimensional. When Christ said, you're going to do greater things than I, it was like, yeah, he got it. He was kind of like the quantum physics guy of his time period.
Absolutely.
You know, and he and Mary were hanging out together trying to figure it out. And that's all I was trying to do for these last 30 years is just figure it out. And I find it interesting that everybody isn't trying to figure it out, because our bodies are so freaking amazing. And this world is really amazing. But we're not taught, as they are in the Eastern cultures, about this energy in our first chakra called Kundalini energy. The chakras are nothing more than our own endocrine system matched up in the West. But again, I don't remember any health classes anywhere where anyone was telling me anything about this. So
they don't go into that because they don't know it.
No.
Or if they do know it, they're afraid to say it because everybody will point fingers at them.
Oh my God, yes. And even now they're not teaching any of it.
They teach is not to do it, because you can raise the Kundalini, and maybe we better stop here and let people know what that really is.
It's
energy that comes up through the base chakra and comes out through the top of your head, and it's called the serpent because it kind of twines around through your spine like a serpent, but it's a connection thing. And once you get the Kundalini raised, you have greater connection with the God source. And, you know, the thing that most people want to do it for, though, is for sex, because it increases sexual experience. The problem is, if you don't have proper meditation practice and if you haven't cleaned your body well enough, it can do permanent damage.
And, oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
You can burn yourself out, and then you will have no connection with God in this lifetime. I mean, you know, God will still know you're there, but you won't be able to connect as well.
I had been sexually active before that, what I would call definitely unconscious sex. And they told me that was part of it, to be very careful, that this was and at that time to be very careful of that energy and not to continue on that path with that for that time. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say something about the sexual energy. in this culture, we're not taught that that energy, it actually was meant to go inward and up the spine in sexual union. And that was another thing they never taught us, you know, or showed us how to do. So we're always, it's always kind of going outward in that wonderful orgasmic feeling, but actually that is only a, it's like just a tiny kiss of what it can be like when it goes up your spine into your head cavity, into the mind, and further on.
Yeah, and there's things you can do with that too.
Right.
You know, when you have control of that, you can actually create change in the world by directing that energy outward at that moment.
Yes.
And
to build
you know,
up the energy and then direct it outward into, and yes, mm-hmm. into manifesting more incredible things. I loved studying those wonderful carvings in southern India on the walls, showing the male and female coming together, Shiva Shakti, the Kundalini carvings.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Oh, I thought I heard a disconnection. Yeah. I also wanted to say one other thing, just speak on this. For about 5 years, when I was highly in those states, I encountered other entities, other beings. Somebody having my experience might say that they look like aliens. They had beautiful lights twinkling around them, sound and color. And we discussed this, Valerie, how sound and color, different sounds, different colors are connected with each level. Mm-hmm. And they would talk to me through telepathy. I, of course, in the beginning would try to actually speak to them, and it was like talking underwater. And they would instruct me that, you know, it's telepathy, that originally we did telepathy in the past in our background in Atlantis and Lemuria, and we had lost the ability. And also where our third eye is, there was a growth at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were far more connected, and our pineal and pituitary glands were far more developed than. And I wanted to say this other thing. I didn't feel like I was taking an evolutionary leap at all. What I felt like as I was being brought back into balance, into something that I would call maybe original intelligence or original consciousness. That's just a name I gave it.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, and I wonder if it's because you didn't have the training in what to do with that energy.
Right.
Because it can be used a lot of different ways, and you know,
sure.
I've had many experiences with that, some that were completely unexpected, and I didn't know until much later what it was.
Sure.
And then, yeah, it's kind of like, whoa.
Exactly. I'm gonna
just say one thing about this, listeners. Let me just explain that when you're making love with your husband and this energy goes up and you don't know what it is, they get blasted off the bed.
Yes, they do. You're right. You're right.
And they pass out. And,
yes.
And it's because of this connection. And it just was the weirdest thing to have that happen. And you kind of lay there and go, this is really strange. Now, what the heck is this?
Just happened.
And then there were other times, like when I was meditating, and I was doing the ageless wisdom stuff.
Right.
And I'm sitting there meditating, contemplating something like freedom. Or contemplating love, or contemplating harmlessness, or you know whatever the lesson was for that day, and all of a sudden the Kundalini started to rise, and I was just sitting there just meditating, and it burned, and I was like, wow, this is really weird. I knew it was Kundalini, but I wasn't sure why it was burning, and so I went to my teacher and I said, this happened. And he says, oh yes, your Kundalini's rising, and I said, well, why did it burn? And he said, when it does that, it's burning out blockages.
Right.
And so,
that's that fire feeling, I think, that I had.
Oh.
That just like my whole energy, I was totally on fire. And I was, because of the abuse of drugs and alcohol, I was in a very debilitated state to begin with. And I think it just, it took the path of least resistance and wham. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. And that there's other things that happen with it, too. And I had shared this with you earlier. That last year I went through something. I was doing a woman's water ceremony, full moon ceremony, with some friends that are Cherokee medicine women, and we would go to the bowl and get the vision, and you know just really connect with the all that is, and we were asking for visions to help the planet, and I started getting the visions like 1 week or 1 month after another. I was always called to the bowl to get these visions. And then I started noticing I had this very, very slight internal tremor going on. And I thought, okay, that's really weird. You know, what is that and why is it continuous? And then it progressed. And over the next couple of months, my legs became like lead, like I couldn't walk.
Oh.
And they just felt stiff and lifeless. And I was like, what is this? And then the tremor progressed. And it progressed so badly that at one point, about 3 months or so down the line, I was trying to draw some blood. Now, I have done, you know, over 30 years of nursing, plus doing the medical stuff. And so, you know, I think I've been 27 years as an RN when I went to medical school. And I had done, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands of IVs and lab draws and things like that. I'm really good at it. And here I am, I'm trying to draw blood. The woman had wonderful veins, and I am shaking like a leaf, not just my hands, my entire body. And I'm sitting there looking at myself doing this, going, what is wrong with me? And I thought, my God, I can't keep this up because people are going to start talking, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, what am I going to do? And I didn't know what it was. And I, you know, I've had all these Kundalini experiences before, but this didn't feel like anything I'd ever gone through.
Oh,
so I took myself to a chiropractor. And so, you know, he worked on me, and it helped a little bit. He did this directed non-force technique, and it helped a little bit, but it really didn't stop it. And I thought, okay, that's not really it. It's not a spinal instability. Something else is going on. And so I had tried, you know, a couple different chiropractors and, you know, a couple different things, tried some sound medicine healing, did all kinds of things, and it was still progressing. And at that point, one of my friends called up and said, you know, I just went down to Phoenix, and I was talking with these ladies that channel Dr. Peebles, and they told me to go see this guy who's a chiropractor but does energy work. And she said, he waves his hands over you, and then things happen and things move in your body. And I said, well, that's the same way I do things to people. And I said, huh, that's kind of interesting. So I called him up, made an appointment, and I went down there, and I told him what was going on. He starts laughing hysterically. And I said, what is it? He said, don't worry, I know exactly what it is, and I've helped thousands of people with this. And I said, well, what is it? And he laughed hysterically again, and he said, I'll tell you later. And so he tells me to lay down on the table, and he waves his fingers over me, and I feel energy a lot. So, you know, for me, that was like, whew, that was better than sex, you know. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And he said, you're going to shake more before you shake less. And I said, what does that mean? He said, you'll shake more before you shake less. I said, okay, like when? And he laughs, and he walks off. Well, I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, what does this mean? And all of a sudden, my right leg, like, picks itself up, and the ankle turns all by itself and kind of, like, you know, shook. And I went, that was odd. And then it was my left shoulder. And then it was, like, my left knee. And then it was my right thigh. Then it was my right arm, you know, and all these parts started shaking. And they shook and shook and shook, and I shook so much, my head did things you normally only see on sci-fi movies. You know?
Sure, I understand.
So I had to do that.
Yes.
And it
I
was
believe
a,
it.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. And I shook and shook and shook, almost shook off the table. And then when I calmed down, he came back, and he wiggled his fingers in the air over me a couple more times, and I started shaking again. I shook for 2 hours solid. And when I got done, he said, you know, you got to drink a lot of water with lemon juice because you really released a lot of stuff. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's your Kundalini. It's rising naturally.
Yeah, right.
And I went, well, why didn't you tell me that before? And he said, well, I just didn't want you to have any interference with the process. But he said, what it's doing is, he said, you have a lot of blockages.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, I had all this stuff that happened to me, you know, with the poisoning years ago, and, you know, I'm sure I do have a lot of blockages. And he said, yeah, he said, it's just burning out blockages. And he said, no big deal. But he said, come back next week. I said, okay. So I came back the next week, and I shook some more. And the thing that was funny was I could feel this guy walking in, and I always knew when he was there. He thought I was sleeping through it. I was like, no, I knew that you were there. I could feel your energy. And he was working on me, and at, I guess, the halfway point, I knew he was there, and I opened my eyes to say something to him, and all I saw was a whirling white cloud with lightning bolts coming out of it, and brown eyes. That's all I saw. And I started going,
Yes.
I couldn't get the words out. And he just started laughing, and then it looked even funnier because he has kind of Japanese-looking eyes, you know, so it's like, And so it was really a hysterical experience. But, you know, after that, I have had no problems, no more shaking. And everything got lighter, you know, I could walk again, and heaviness in the legs. And, you know, the reason that listeners that we're mentioning this is because there are so many things that can happen to you when the Kundalini rises.
Yes.
And if you go to a conventional medical doctor, they will determine that you have something else and they'll drug you.
And you
don't know what it is.
This is one of the reasons I wanted to, you know, talk. It's because the fact that people are being drugged and denied this experience, it's just shameful, you know. I would like to reach people that, and to tell them to, there are alternatives. We are living in a world that there really are other alternatives that you can seek out help. Because the drugs will really numb you, just totally numb you.
Yeah, they will, and they'll prevent the progression of the condition.
And they label you.
Yeah.
And
they
make you feel like there's something wrong with you, and you really are opening up to being multidimensional and a very powerful person. Krishnamurti, I don't know if anyone's too, I think some people are familiar with him. He was a great spiritual leader who went through a Kundalini experience that lasted 17 years.
Also,
17 years, it was documented in Mary Luton's book, Years of Awakening. Mm-hmm. And it was very painful at times because he went through the same kind of burning and shaking, but he had people taking care of him, so he was in pretty good shape. There was something that happened to him that had also happened to me, and I think it happens to other people. Lee Sinella, who was a doctor in California, wrote a book, The Kundalini Experience. He talked about our culture being so stressed out that people like myself are experiencing these spontaneous Kundalini awakenings without any training, where you, Valerie, at least had a background and had training and knew who to go to. But I think, and you probably do too, that people are so stressed that this is happening and they don't quite know what's going on.
Well, yeah. Well, even with my training, I didn't know what this was. I mean, all I had was the symptom of this internal quaking that became external, and my legs were like lead. And so if I had gone to a conventional doctor, they would have hooked me up to, the myelograms and all this other kind of stuff and bombarded me with x-rays and given me pills to try to, take my attention away from what was going on. And I knew that this was not normal. And I knew that if I went to a conventional doctor that I was probably going to be in trouble.
Exactly.
So I just didn't bother.
Exactly. And that's the way to treat it. And I know that there is a Kundalini clinic in Berkeley, California, because Dr. Sinella had recommended that I try to get there. And maybe there are more places. I think Esalen does some work with Kundalini. They wrote a lot about it. And I think people are going to start to speak up. I think we are coming into a time where people are going to start speaking up, because I've read articles and books by other people trying to explain this. It just doesn't come into the media much, or it doesn't come into the mainstream to reach, people in South Bicycle, Illinois having this problem. I mean, maybe in California or Sedona or places like that. But it would be nice to reach other people. So,
the purpose of this program.
Oh, that's great.
It goes around the world.
There was one other thing that was part of this that Sinella wrote about in his book, Kundalini Experience. My vision, when this energy gets into the sixth chakra, I was an artist, and I thought I knew beauty. I thought I saw beauty in things. But when this energy hit that section, it was like I had never seen life before. I had never seen color. I had never seen fractals. I had never seen anything. And it shows me, and I've been able to keep that ability to see like that. And Sinella said that it was in the Bible that there were phrases talking about the third eye, seeing with the third eye, and different people had come along in the Bible and tried to rewrite that. But these experiences with Kundalini are documented in the Bible, and he was trying to write a version of the Bible that would show that Kundalini was spoke of or talked about in it, which I thought was really interesting. So, and I think that there are... There were other books that I found. There was a gentleman from India, Gopi Krishna, who wrote volumes on his experience, and his experience went on for 20 years, and his wife took care of him. And he was frustrated because he couldn't find any really good teachers in India, so it was even a problem there. Hello? Hello? Valerie?
Hello, listeners. Sorry about that. We kind of got dropped somehow. I don't know what happened.
I was
going, hello, hello.
Okay.
Anyway, so before we go on, what I wanted to do is let the listeners know that they can call in, and the call-in numbers are 877-876-5227 for the USA. For Canada, it's 888-810-8322, and the direct line is 530-876-3222. And listeners, please feel free to call in and ask Marcia or myself questions about what you may be experiencing and if that might be Kundalini. Or you can also get us on the Fast Blast. If you're too shy to talk on the air, not a problem. Just Fast Blast us. Okay, so now where were we?
I don't remember. I was talking about Lisa Nell and the optic, the vision, and the stress. How so many people are under stress in this culture, and
yeah.
It can dislodge the Kundalini, and I think that that is what's happening to a lot of people.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's what he's right, because that is exactly what happened to my body. I was under massive stress, and he feels that in this culture, that is one of the mechanisms that triggers a spontaneous Kundalini rising. And also, I did talk about the optic nerve. I don't know where we got cut off.
Yeah, that was about right where we got cut off.
Okay.
So you might want to go over that again.
Oh, go over it again. All right. I'm an artist, and I always thought that I could see well and see beauty and all of that. But when this energy went up through my body and it hit my sixth chakra, my eyesight was so enhanced. I literally could see the world in fractals and colors, and it has stayed with me. And when I read Lisa Nella's book, it's very scientific, which is good because physicians, you know, they're going to want a scientific background if they are to believe any of this. And
sure.
He does talk about how different parts of the body are enhanced. And the other thing, I remember Einstein saying that one about, you know, we only use 10% of our brain or our abilities to do anything. And when that energy went up into my body during that first couple of weeks, it was like parts of my mind I had never used before were being used and are still being used. And I find that this is really sad because really we are going to, you can tell now consciousness is coming more and more on the planet. People are starting to wake up. But, you know, if we did this with kids, can you imagine how quickly we would be evolving if we were teaching some of these things to children instead of some of the silly things we do teach them? So,
oh, absolutely.
And the body, I think it was Yogananda who said, each one of us should be able to power the city of Chicago. And I did have some past life recollections of being part of a group in Atlantis. And we were all, I just remember we were all dressed in white. We were in some kind of cavernous cathedral with crystals. And we were using our mental abilities, and they were like harnessed together. We were working as a group and working through crystals, and we were running parts of Atlantis. And I think that we forget how powerful we are. And I mean, people can say, well, that's just a weird dream you had, but I really do think that culture existed and it did run like that. I do think that people literally ran it through their own bodies. They were able to harness that there was a groups of people that were able to do that. I've read other people's stories that they've done that and they've seen that, so...
Yeah, I think that's a good point, too. Like, a lot of people see music notes also.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen, the only way I can describe it is to say I've seen perfection. And I can tell.
It's beautiful.
I can tell that when I look at something and it's absolutely perfect, it triggers something within me that makes me burst into uncontrolled tears.
Oh, yes.
And it's just that the beauty is so incredible that my heart just bursts with it. And, I mean, I've done things where I've come around the corner in a museum and just idly looked at something in passing, and what made me stop and look further was that I burst into tears. Just looking at an instantaneous reaction, or like when there's a beautiful sunset and it's just perfect, and the best way I can describe that is to say, in those moments of absolute perfection, not that, you know, most sunsets aren't, but, you know, that there's a couple I've seen where there's something special about it. And when you look at it, and it seems like everything just kind of moves really slowly, and all of a sudden there's like an audible click, and you can hear the angels singing. And it's like, wow. And then you just burst into tears, you know. I mean,
I have definitely had those experiences, with, especially after my eyesight was adjusted, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. And those are the gifts of those things. And if people knew that, if they knew what kind of a connection that you got, they wouldn't be fooling around with the sexual energy with that.
No,
because that just,
they
wouldn't. I mean, you know, it's not worth burning out those real connectors that you need.
I also found that I wasn't familiar with the word synchronicity at the time any of this happened. But, of course, it becomes, you know, a core part of yourself, because you realize that this energy that you go into, this field, this whatever you, the all that is, the source energy, God, call it whatever you want to, is really reflecting back to you everything you are, where your vibration is.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that over the years, when I need to know something, it's kind of like, I know a lot of people think of the source as controlling their lives, like, why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? That type of thing. I now see it as just a beautiful mirror. And unfortunately, if you're at a lower vibration, it can only mirror back to you that vibration. And the higher we rise in our consciousness, David Hawkins, who's a wonderful writer from Sedona, had a Kundalini experience, and he writes about it in his books. And he also writes about people like myself and people who are in mental hospitals. And he said, you know, these people don't really want to talk about their experience, because I didn't talk about it for decades.
Mm-hmm.
He said they just want to go off to and live in a by themselves, or go live in an ashram, and I almost did that. But a part of me told me to stay in the world and to, at some point in time, to speak out about it. But I think David... Pardon?
You know, if you had gone off into an ashram, the more that you take yourself away from being in public, the more likelihood that you would become what they call the the crazy saints or the blessed fools.
Yes, exactly.
They're really not in their bodies. They're walking around and they're crying continuously. They're in the state of samadhi or contracted bliss. But
that happened to me.
Feed them and clothe them and clean them up after they go to the bathroom, and I mean they cannot do anything. So they're pretty much useless in the world.
I was pretty useless for the first 5 years. I would cry at the drop of a hat. Someone said to me, I finally met a woman who was teaching yoga, and she said, "You're crying the Christ tears." She said, "It's just every time I could just feel what people were going to. I kept weeping for where humanity was on the scale of evolution, and anything would set me off." You're absolutely right. And I wasn't functioning. I really wasn't functioning. But
yeah,
somehow...
Really, our job is to be here.
Exactly.
Our job is to be here now and
to be here present.
All the, yeah, to bring all of those experiences onto the planet in a concrete way, so that everyone on the planet is able then to use that energy to help each other. And we really are all one being.
We are.
And
we
just,
are.
Yeah, we're just playing with ourselves. That's all.
That's it. Exactly. And it is our job to calibrate higher than when we come in here.
Exactly.
It really is to spiritually really just find our, you know, ourselves in connection to this fabulous cosmic wave that, you know, reflects back to us. It's so beautiful. But you're right. I was pretty useless. People who find themselves in this state in mental hospitals or whatever, they appear to be useless, but we're not. We're not really, if given a chance to just experience it in a healthy way and to balance ourselves into harmony. But it took me a long time to figure that out. I had a lot of fear. I really did have a lot of fear. I would come in and out of the bliss states and be fine, but it was kind of like being dropped back in here, and it would feel like such a low level that I would go into a lot of fear about how I was going to survive, you know. But I did, and it worked out fine. So.
Yeah, and you were lucky. I mean, there are some people that end up in a mental hospital and they stay there for the rest of their lives. And they get very angry because they're trying to tell you what's real and nobody believes them.
Yeah.
And I can tell you back when I did my rotation in the lockdown ward from the nursing program, you know, I'd look at these people and people would go, oh, ha ha, you know, they're so crazy. And I'd say, no, actually, they're seeing what's there. You just don't see it.
That's right.
And, you know, just because they see it and you don't doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And they're extremely psychic.
They are. And I think we need to, especially the intellectual, we're caught in this culture, we're very much in our minds. And we really need to understand that the invisible is that loving energy. And we need to really allow it to participate with this physical reality, because they go together, the invisible and the physical reality. And we don't. We kind of block it out and say it doesn't exist. And if it's not concrete and right in front of our eyes, we don't want to accept anything.
Well, it's going to get real interesting in the next 6 years or so.
It sure is. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the veils are thin enough now that there are a lot of people that don't normally see things that are seeing things. And,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff, but I've always seen things. And, I mean, I came in my office this morning and saw somebody sitting in the chair. And I did a double take, you know, because the door was locked and the alarm was on, you know.
Yes.
Came right in and looked and went, who are you? And then it was like, poof, gone.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember someone gave me a book on the Finhorn, Finhorn Gardens, and they talked a lot about the divas and things. And when I was living in California, it was probably around 1993 or 4, I had an experience of waking up one day and being kind of caught in several dimensions. But I had a psychic friend who had said to me, there is an entity, this little kind of golem-like creature is living here with you in this little house. And I went, oh, okay. But I had not visually seen this entity. And I did one morning. And it was just eye level with me. I was laying, and I kind of, you know how you sleepily open a couple of eyes, and it was so tiny, and it was just eye level with me, and we just kind of locked eyes, and it was like, oh, my God, what would people do? I mean, how cute. What would they do if they could see these realms, you know? I mean, I stayed in that state for a few minutes, and then I was back here, but these realms are right here with us. It's not like they're pie in the sky somewhere. They're right here. It's all together.
Oh, yeah, and I, you know, like myself, I tend to feel things more now.
Right.
It used to be I just saw, and then I saw and I heard, and now it's moved into more feeling.
Right.
And, you know, I still see it on occasion, but I'm in my left brain so much because of what I do for a profession that, you know, unless I'm, like, right in the middle of a meditative experience in the holographic room or something, you know, I'm too far into my left brain. Or if I see something, then I'm like, oh! And I get all excited, and then I transfer to the left brain. You know?
Right.
I get it's kind of with the right brain. But it's quite interesting stuff to know that we occupy the same space as all of these other dimensions.
Yes.
And you can tune through them. And I used to feel so sorry for the people in the mental wards because it was really obvious that they were so psychic, they were so tuned in. But the poor things were down there, you know, tuned in to really dissonant stuff and horrible things, you know, and these voices from every side telling them to do things, and I mean, they just couldn't take it.
No, they couldn't.
No.
And you're right, they can't tune it out. I think when we talked the first time, I told you when I was living in California, I was listening to a San Francisco radio station. It was in the 80s, and Blatty, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but he wrote The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
He did some sort of scientific experiment with sound equipment to contact the lower astral realms. And he went into a recording studio, I remember. He was on a San Francisco station, and he had did these recordings. And I do believe I've read that our government and several other people have tried doing these same types of experiments where he was literally tapping in. And it is, when you're in those realms, it's almost like they're computer disks or programs. And he pulled voices, which he taped and then played on the radio. It was a Ron Owens show. And they were literally saying that they were in these lower astral realms, and it was the mental hospital of that realm, you know, the lower dungeons, literally. And that it was something that we had created, our mind, our own. I don't know how you feel about that, but I do feel that every thought we've ever thought throughout time is real, and it goes somewhere, and it creates the astral realm.
Yeah, I believe that actually we're all living every moment all at the same time. And
that's true.
And my own now, and I'm not saying that this is the way it is. I'm just saying that when I think about it, lately I've been thinking that, you know, it is a giant Mobius strip, but we have this big movie,
right.
And you can go through the movie and you can pick and choose what part you want to be, and you can
right.
pick and choose the time and the place by just, you know, looking down and going, "Oh, let me land here."
Right.
And I also know that we can actually inhabit several bodies at the same time.
Yes.
And personally,
yes.
I've had experiences of two others that I know are me. And I'm always very surprised when I pop into them. And then I've also got several others of me that are on different dimensions. And the way that I know that
yes.
is because each dimension will be just slightly different. And
yes.
otherwise, they'll be pretty much the same. But my quandary whenever that happens, because usually it happens from a sleep state. And,
right, me too.
And I wake up and I'm in a different dimension and I go, "Oh, man, how do I get back to where I was?"
Right. I've experienced that same thing with a different dimension and another me who I really like. She's doing some good deeds. And I really, I saw that it was not this earth as we know it. It was just another dimension. It was another life. Also, and this is just a conclusion I've come to. To me, it feels like there's about five different timelines going from not so hot to really exalted. The thing would be to be on the highest level. But I also find myself going back and sometimes back and forth between those timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making any sense there?
Well, yeah, I think that we do drift back and forth, or I'm trying to remember what Richard Allen Miller said a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
He was saying
was he talking about the timeline?
Yeah, he was talking about, well, we didn't really get into it because we were supposed to be talking about the holographic universe, but...
Which, yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how the heck he put that. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the show again. But it was something about, you know, it's not so much that there are different places or different dimensions.
Right.
And Rick, if you're listening, I apologize, but I don't quite remember that. But it was really interesting, and I want to explore that more with him. And, you know, because he's a physicist and he's
right.
a genius. And
right.
and Dr. Bell could probably help us out with that, too. But... Yeah, I think there's a lot of mysteries yet to be solved.
Yes.
And whatever it is, you know, we just call it what the most common term is.
Right.
It's
for
like,
now.
It's like,
for now, yes.
Yeah. It's like the same thing like, you know, when you're praying to the angels or the archangels, what you're really doing is you're connecting with a higher stream of quantum consciousness.
Right.
But
right. I think
call
so,
them,
too.
Yeah, we call them angels and archangels because
right.
that's what we know them as. And I got into this discussion with somebody, well, it's happened quite a few times where they've said, well, you know, that's mysticism. And it's like, okay, but when you're talking to the majority of the people, if the majority of the people, 95% of the people are in mysticism, you cannot reach them by talking to them about something that's way over their heads and they don't get it.
Right.
You have
exactly.
to talk to people at the level
yep.
that they're at.
Exactly.
And so I always say, you know, don't get hung up on the semantics. you know, just try to grasp the concept, because we all know what it is. We just have kind of forgotten what to call it and how
right.
it exactly works.
I think we're headed toward a time in the future. I found myself on a timeline somewhere in the way in the future where everybody has access to their bliss body. Where, and it's not where you're not functioning. It'll just be commonplace to be able to plug right in like we used to. I think we got ourselves, you know, there's like a cosmic cycle, which they talk about in the East, and we really have come out of the dark ages where we forgot all these fabulous things. We kind of went into this 26,000-year cycle where we slowly lost the ability to be totally plugged directly in. And I think now we're headed back, and people like myself and like yourself are just having these experiences to let people know this is coming. You know, you can do this too. And that's what Christ was saying. He says, anybody, you know, you people are all going to be able to do this in the future. He had the same vision of seeing everybody doing greatness.
Well, yeah, absolutely. They might not all do it at once. You know,
right.
I think we each come into our own at certain points. And, you know, it's always a choice. It's like you can choose good or evil. You can choose evolution or devolution. And you can choose, you know, to kind of stagnate and, you know, be a couch potato, universal couch potato, which a lot of people are doing right now.
I think it's out of fear. You know, I really
I
have compassion in this culture anyway. I feel like they've been put into a state of fear, and that's unfortunate because there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, unfortunately, they are kind of retreating. And, I mean, I have several friends that actually were extremely spiritual and, you know, really connected and really moving forward quite well, and then got to a point where they were really comfortable with their dysfunctional lives and didn't want to move beyond that. And, I mean, these are people that, you know, when I got together with them, we opened dimensions.
Right, exactly.
Had incredible experiences, and I've had a couple of them now say, you know what, I'm just not interested in doing that anymore, and I think I'm just going to sit here and, you know, smoke my cigarettes and drink my booze and take my pills.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and for me, that is so frustrating. I mean, I want to go kick them right in the butt. You know, we didn't come here to be addicted to these substances that turn us off.
No,
and
exactly. And it's
difficult. I mean, I kind of understand because this is work.
Right.
And I very much validate that everyone has the choice to do whatever the heck they want to do, as
you
long
know,
as it's not harming other people.
I think what happens...
Boy, you know,
right.
when you know someone has these incredible abilities, it's difficult.
Yep. It is
there
difficult.
And watch them just, you know, shrink up and decide to just turn off.
I think that they, again, some sort of fear
Uh-oh.
Takes in.
Did I lose you?
No. Hello?
Yep, I think I lost your listeners. Or maybe they lost me.
No, I can hear
sure
you.
Which.
You can't hear me, can
Hello?
You?
Hello, Don?
Valerie?
Well, until next week.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. And next week we will have dream analysis. That's going to be quite interesting. So tune in for that. And until then, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Thanks for listening.